Always good to be here, RJ, and yes, a busy Monday here, and we start with the NBA Finals here on Straight Outta Vegas, where the series is now tied at one game apiece. The Golden State Warriors, a 109-104 win last night in Toronto.
Okay, open question, and Daryl, producer Daryl, you're in the mix, Jonas, anybody. What is the takeaway media narrative from Game 2? Now, what I do as a professional is I listen to the radio. That's kind of a good job, I guess. What does Colin say, right? What's Dan Patrick saying? What's Stephen A saying? The tastemakers. I don't even have to like any particular host if he's changing opinions, though I like those three. I know, Jonas, you have a personal thing with Colin, but we don't let that get involved in the show.
Right.
Now, why do we care? Because to me, NBA Finals betting, college football, big bowls are the only two times of the or NCAA tournament, or the only three times of the year in which the public has such a big say in the line, except for the NFL, which it always does. So the NFL sits up there on top. The public's opinion matters. I am a, you know, I'll be candid, very successful NFL handicapper. 5 years I've been going on Kevin and Bean, the huge LA morning show. Five straight winning seasons, three picks a week. Year one, win. Two, win. Three, win. Four, win. Five, win. It's that consistent. Now, am I going to win this year? I think so. Might not. But how do I handicap the NFL? It's I like to go contrary to the public. Listen, I got to deal with the stupidity of the public every time I go to a grocery store or whatever. I might as well make money from it. All right? If you want to be a contrarian batter, going against the public, NFL is the place to be. Except for that, though, NBA Finals is in that tier where you got people betting that typically aren't betting. Or even, you know, I'm not sure about how many people ramp up just for the NBA Finals, but you got people betting every game where they wouldn't be betting every game during, even if they did bet the NBA during the regular season or even early rounds of the playoffs. So if I identify what everyone's saying, I can look to go opposite. Now, that was very successful in the Toronto-Philadelphia series, which I think was an all-timer for swinging media narratives. And Fez, let's give credit where credit's due. You were in the lead. I agreed with you. Another best bet winner on Friday. We were taking the two with Golden State, figuring that based upon the line in game one being Toronto 1.5, Toronto wins. The zigzag tells us that line should have went down. It went up. It went up for one reason. Toronto was reevaluated by the public. The narrative after game one, Toronto's better than we thought. All right, so we went the other way. I'm having trouble discerning the narrative after game two. On one hand, listen to Colin most every day, and his seemed to be, well, Golden State's clearly better because look at all the deficiencies, injuries, they have other things. And they're, you know, imagine if Kawhi was gone, you know, how good would Toronto be? And that's the analogy being Durant. It's like, well, yeah, if the conversation was who at full strength in optimal circumstances has the better team, yes, it is Golden State. And Brad, you can pull the numbers as we're talking. The NBA Finals and the NBA playoffs in general, the better team wins a really high percentage of the time. So if you would, pull out those exact numbers. So in a weird way, no one's going to debate if Golden State is the better team. But in a weird way, the fact that they might not win is what makes it interesting. Now, if the better team hardly ever won, and I think there's a baseball stat out there where the team that won the most regular season games hasn't won the World Series. Maybe it's once in 20. I don't know. It's like a crazy stat. Fez, you familiar with this?
Yeah, I know Seattle won over 110 games, and they were the poster child of flameouts in the playoffs.
Yeah, and again, you can call it flameouts, or you can call it that there's so much luck in a seven-game baseball series that it's often who's got the hot pitching, who's got the hot hitting. Now, I would say anytime it's one and done, NFL, for example, you're going to have luck involved, right? Would the Giants have beat the undefeated Patriots team 4 out of 7? Probably not.
No.
So in the other 2 7-game series sports, baseball and hockey, there is a lot of luck still, even though it's 7 games. In all the one and dones, there's a lot of luck. There's no sport that America cares about in which the better team wins more often than the NBA. In fact, Brad, you got some numbers.
Yeah, so if we're just talking series, Eastern and Western Conference Finals and the NBA Finals, the elite of the elite.
All right, so let's think about this. It's the last round and this round, so the 3 biggest rounds of the year.
Yep, the favorites take that series 78% of the time, and this is a sample size going back to the mid-80s, RJ.
Okay, so between 70-80%, the better team wins. To me, if that was 40%, or I guess if it was just even just two teams heads up, if it was 55, it'd be like too much luck. If it was 95, it'd be like, why watch it? It's in that sweet spot where Toronto could win this series. Hey, the Lakers lost, you know, that Hall of Fame team lost to the Pistons, right? But isn't that what keeps us watching? Right. And it also is why Michael never befalling that is why the crazies who don't think Michael is the best need to reevaluate. So, yeah, I think Colin stating the obvious, but that's not what we as bettors or even fans. This isn't theoretical. This isn't Ollie against Marciano to go way back. This is on the court today. Who's going to win? So let's give Colin his due. It's a great line, Howard Cosell. I still remember I was a kid, but one of the other guys said something and he goes, "You're a master of the obvious." So Colin's got that one. Otherwise, it's like it seems to be Golden State was injured, but it's like, really? So let's think about this, Fez, because that's one of your main point. Oh, he's got his notepad out. This is going to be good. Steve Fezzik, I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, and he's prepared for this. Make the case, listen to the question, make the case that the injuries on Golden State, setting Durant aside, because in my mind, this team doesn't have Durant right now. They haven't had Durant for a key win in the Houston series. They didn't have Durant when they swept Portland. So he could come back, no doubt. But as of now, I don't look at that as an excuse. And let's be honest, the odds entering this series assume Durant could come back, but he wasn't a big factor in these odds. Would you agree?
I agree.
So let's not act like that's important. And we'll also give an update to the numbers on how good Golden State is without Durant. Make the case.
All right. So Klay Thompson was last night Golden State's best player for most of the game. He absolutely was playing great. And Klay Thompson went out in the fourth quarter with a hamstring injury.
So how many minutes did he miss?
He missed 8 minutes, the final 8 minutes.
Oh, he says that. You see how his voice, the tenor of his voice changed? The final 8 minutes. So 8 minutes. So how many minutes did he play?
He played...
When we keep talking, you know, check that during the break, because my guess is he probably played
32 minutes.
All right. And what's his average?
He's been averaging about 42 in the playoffs.
You're high as a freaking kite.
He's like 40.
How's this? Why'd you say 42 then?
All right.
How's this? Let's bet $500. He hasn't been averaging 42.
All right. Against Houston.
So why'd he say? Why'd you say?
I was thinking of the Houston series when he was playing all those.
$50 fine.
$50 fine.
That's it. I'm done with these shenanigans. $50. We'll give it to Big Brothers, Big Scissor. We're going to have a pile of money in this studio from Fezzik's exaggerations. All right. So you're saying maybe. He lost maybe 6 minutes of time he would have typically played.
Yes.
All right. So that's what this is about?
No.
6 minutes from one player.
No. Curry came in feeling ill.
Dehydrated. The famous, we don't quite know what the illness was, but maybe he was ill because there's a press report. So this is interesting. Did you see the line move?
No.
Okay. Now, let's. Why am I asking you that?
Because if clearly an issue, the line would have moved significantly. Now, the line.
Now, when did it become? Meaning, what I'm saying is, what you'll often see, guys, and this is where Vegas can really it's like the stock market, right? If Zion blows out a Nike shoe, there's the famous line from Wall Street, the original Wall Street. One of your favorite movies, right, Fez?
Yeah, 1987. I'd say best movie in the 80s we for didn't me.
Forget Raging Bull. Well, for you, I mean, yeah, because you love money like no one.
Blue Horseshoe loves Anacostia.
But the famous line about Gecko was, he was on the phone short in NASA 20 seconds after the Challenger exploded. So the fact of the matter is that when the news breaks, the markets react. Now, you don't think the beat writers that are tweeting that stuff out, but right before the game, hey, I think I heard him sniffling or whatever. Wouldn't the market react to that?
I don't think so. If he was going to play, if he had the cold, hold on.
Then why is it an excuse now? Then you're saying a factor that the market deems irrelevant is why now, in hindsight, we can say Golden State was hindered
because the cumulative effect of having four guys hindered during.
Now, who's the four now? So this is the sniffles from Curry. Go ahead.
Yep.
Quickly, please. Give us some information.
Iguodala had to leave the game after a collision, and he came in with a calf injury to start the game.
So Iguodala plays how many minutes typically, and how many did he play?
He played 28 minutes.
Okay, and how many does he typically play?
He plays in the low 30s.
Okay. So so far we've got like 9 minutes of starter timeout. Go ahead.
And
Iggy's not even how they assess that. Yeah, I mean, I guess they start different guys.
Fair enough. And another guy that starts some of the time, Looney, had an injury in the second quarter. Looney.
So Looney, that's the factor we've been missing in the analysis.
Now we got four guys other than Durant that we're talking about.
So who was on the floor at the end? Meaning, is that a valid? I get if all these guys were going to be out for a season, there would be an accumulation of effect. But what I'm saying is, for this game, who was on the floor at the end? And let's give credit, the very fact at the end that Klay Thompson's not on the floor is certainly a negative. A real negative. Otherwise, I'm just hearing, hey, we don't have a media narrative here, and I got to go on the radio today.
Well, fair enough.
But you're buying it. Vegas shouldn't do that.
Well, Toronto bought in also. Iguodala was actually back in the game at the end of the game, and Toronto thought so little of Iguodala, they left him wide open at the end of the game.
So you think the assessment on Iggy to leave open was, well, we know he's a little banged up, so we'll let him have the shot. But in normal circumstances, they would have been boxing one on Iggy instead of Steph.
They wouldn't.
But why were they even boxing one in Steph, considering he was so addled by sniffles?
They definitely threw everyone.
Nothing. Listen, I'm going to give anyone that wants to defend this narrative, oh, Golden State was somehow hobbled in some major way. You have a chance when you come back. Once no one takes me up on that, we're going to continue trying to figure out what really happened in Game 2 and what it means for Game 3.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will continue to take a look back at Game 2 of the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I tell you, Fez needs to recover. If you look at the tweets, I mean, we were talking about what was the narrative after Game 2. And to me, the lazy, I'm not willing to put any money on it, but pay me to talk, sports talk jibber-jabber, was all those Golden State injuries. I think we debunked that, but I'm going to give that contingent a chance here in a minute. Thanks for joining us every weekday. We have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 93 degrees. The neon is sizzling.
So, RJ, we've been talking about Game 2 of the NBA Finals, a game that was won last night by the Golden State Warriors, 109-104 in Toronto. That series now tied up at one game apiece. Game 3 is Wednesday night.
Yeah, and let's get an early line on Game 3. We're always looking ahead, and right after the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about that big boxing upset. What were the actual odds? There's been some misinformation about that. Fez, what are we seeing Game 3 in Golden State? Now, let's set our expectations. If these were even teams, Golden State would be favored by 4. What do we got?
Golden State -6.
All right, so that's in line with game one was 1.5, right?
Toronto minus 1.5, yep.
So which assumes they should have been 4 if it was even. So they were 2.5 points less than Golden State, Toronto. Then game two was -2 or even 2.5 late, right?
Correct.
So it was said, Toronto is about 2 points less, maybe 1.5. And now 4-6 is 2, so Golden State's 2 points better. So it seems like after game one, there was a reevaluation of Toronto with a slight upgrade. And after game two, it seems like we're right in line with that. Golden State's 2 points better.
Agreed.
Okay. Now, I conceded the point. By the way, for those young debaters out there, and we love it when high school kids listen, because you don't have to, you don't have to bet. More than half our, or about half our audience doesn't even bet. They want to learn to think like Vegas. So, junior high, high school listeners, if you're debating, the trick is define the area of the battlefield. If there's an element, Donald Trump does break norms, but, because if you're going to sit there and talk about Trump and norms, doesn't matter, you've lost. You might have a chance otherwise, no chance. So let's define, I accept Klay Thompson. Some call him Klay Thomas. I mean, that's a bad sign, but Klay Thompson, he missed the last 8 minutes of the game.
Yep.
He's not a, all NBA player, but that is a significant loss, no doubt. And we've already accepted the fact that we don't know about Durant. Otherwise, and speaking to the kids again, you can really get a feel when you're winning a debate is when the other side starts saying ludicrous things. You can start, packing up your briefcase. Fez was trying to say that Looney, not Fox's former Tom Looney, a great man, in my opinion, but another loony, somehow, some way, he was hurt, and that was important. You now see with a little hindsight how desperate you were to make your point, Fez.
Well, going after game one, remember, Looney played almost 30 minutes. Boogie Cousins played less than 10. So when Looney went down in the second quarter, I actually was thinking, RJ, Golden State's in big trouble here because Boogie's going to have to play a whole lot of minutes. And I got to give credit where credit's due. Boogie stepped up big time.
Now, hold on a second. I really felt like you were going to be giving me credit for a second. So, Brad, do you remember this conversation?
Yeah, it was Thursday show. We talked about, some guy here at this roundtable says, hey, would it be a big surprise if in one of these games in the NBA Finals, we see Boogie Cousins have that performance where he gets a very key 6, 8, 10 points, and he's the reason Golden State comes through? Somebody here said that, and I think the initials...
Well, let's just say this.
He's the one, he's the only RJ Bell.
And Fez was saying what? Oh, he's worth nothing. Nothing. How much? 0.0.
Well, he was worth more than 0.0. In fact, in game two, RJ, you were just prescient because Boogie Cousins, I could make the case, was the key surprise that enabled Golden State to win the game, not just with his points, but got 10 rebounds and multiple assists, played a complete game.
So Brad Powers joins. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. You were quite prescient, predictive when it came to the way that Kerr was using the bench. Because what we saw in Houston was shocking. In my opinion, that series, it was unsustainable, which was, we're not using our bench. Bench? What bench? Ain't got time for a bench. And Kerr, again, underrated. I think we're going to look back and think this guy's was a little, I was going to say mini Belichick, but it's so funny when I bet, a guy like Kerr, you think he's small because he's staying next to 7-footers, right? But Kerr is so smart that he doesn't have to show you how smart he is because he doesn't want people catching on, which is really smart. After the Houston series, you're thinking, now what? This bench is so thin. Boogie wasn't coming back. It didn't look like, but you pointed this out first.
Yeah, and Golden State went from basically using the bench nothing at all, to using 12, 13 players, multiple minutes each and every game to the Portland series. And it was you, RJ, that said, hey, here's what I think Kerr's kind of doing. He's, you know, kind of a feeling out process. Which player's going to have that confidence if he hits a couple of shots? Then we can go with him. And what we saw last night was maybe he found a couple guys that are playing off that confidence, particularly Quinn Cook. Klay Thompson gets hurt. Quinn Cook comes in, hits a couple of big threes when Toronto closes the gap in the fourth quarter. That feeling out process during the Portland series paying dividends in this series.
And I think it's even, and maybe you're saying this, but let me clarify. It's not so much like a tryout where, oh, that guy came into the college tryout, but he's really a good long snapper. Let's invite him back for spring practice or whatever as a walk-on. Rather, Kerr knows all these guys. It's just, how are they feeling that moment? And one of the things that I think is unequivocal is this idea that there is no, there might not be clutch, and that's a debate in with the math guys. Is there clutch or not? But there certainly are nerves. No one that's ever done anything, you know, the first time I went on SportsCenter, I was nervous, right? I do TV now, yeah, I'm a little nervous, but not that much, not like I was. Well, Toronto, their backups, and Barkley, Chuck has been really strong talking about this. Usually those backup type players, the non-stars, do so much better when the pressure's on at home than away, right? And you're in Toronto, and Fez, by all accounts, and I don't always trust my TV, but you're better, you know, whereas am I getting a feel of how loud it is? Are they turning it up? You never know what they're doing with those mics. Toronto's crowd seemed to be as engaged as you see an NBA crowd.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why that 18-0 run to start the second half by Golden State completely shut the volume off of the crowd.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. And to me, the fact that Golden State could have some injuries, and Klay Thompson certainly, and being significant at the end of the game last 8 minutes, and you could stick in these guys. Boogie, yeah, maybe he hasn't played in the finals, but he's a star if he's healthy and motivated, right? So it's not crazy he'd have a good game. I mean, I was the only one that said it, but you know, it seems obvious now. Not in any given game, but at least a good game out of seven or six or whatever. But some of these guys, it'd be like, you'd expect that guy to hit a big shot. So to me, where Kerr's genius is as coach, he understands, what did they eat that day? Did they, how, and this sounds crazy, when they go to restroom last, you know, did they drink a beer 3 days ago? Did that help them or hurt them? We're going to find out. I may not be alive, but I think in hundreds of years, we're going to find out that everything affects us. And so, or maybe that so many things affect us that we don't know. They say everyone has food allergies. We just don't often know what they are. But you ever know, you eat one meal, you feel great. You did. I get it. If it's a big deep fried onion, yeah, you know, most people don't feel well, but I'm talking about the smaller things. And Kerr's saying, listen, I don't know this either, but I tell you this, I know pressure matters, so I throw these guys out like for little auditions, a minute at a time. And the guy that hit the big three, how'd he do before that?
I've barely played. Quinn Cook was.
But what I'm saying is, in the game, when he went in,
yep,
and what happened?
Went in and hit three threes.
Meaning
in the last,
if he misses the first one,
yep,
is he even in the game?
Maybe not.
That's how Kerr's saying, we want to capture these professional level athletes in the right moment, and they can play like a real. You ever see at the end of the season, guys will put up 33 that you never heard of before in the NBA? These guys all can put up 33 in the right circumstance. Kerr is, instead of trying to guess what it is, it seems like he's beta testing it 1 minute at a time during the playoffs. And here's the key. When a coach is willing to take a disadvantage now for a bigger advantage later, that is a winning coach.
You wouldn't understand that here in Dillon, we win seasons. We don't win games. State championships.
Yep, Dillon and Kerr. I like it.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. So we've been talking about who was more egregious, all right? We broke down Darren Rovell, who thought it was a good idea to tweet out the results of Jeopardy before, I would say, probably 98% of the country
99.99998.
Yeah, and so we he got taken to task pretty well last segment. So
now he's getting killed.
So now, RJ, there's somebody else, though, that I think needs to be taken to task.
Let's double back to Rovell. Because I think this is very important. I never was a big fan of the purity test in the sports betting industry. So I moved to Vegas in 98. Fez, you came soon after. I'm much younger than you, though. And the fact of the matter is there was a lot of people fighting over a little pie. Because even back then, beating the books wasn't all that easy. Now, a guy like Fez, who's as good as they get, He was beating him, you know, enough where you were VP as an actuary, right?
Yes, vice president. Los Angeles.
LA, imagine that, Jonas. You guys would have been running together.
But, me and Fez?
Yeah, wingman. Now.
Maverick and Goose.
Now. The reality is, though, the media coverage was almost non-existent. I mean, you know, Jimmy the Greek did his thing before. Chris Berman was doing the Swami. That was it, right? I remember one time Chris Berman mentioned the Gold Sheet, and I was like, oh, you know, which is this old newsletter that was very well respected back in the day. And it was like, oh, man, I can't believe they got mentioned. That's so cool. And now it went, you know, not that long ago, me and Colin started doing our thing, and a lot of stuff has come up. But back then, it was like, wait a minute. I've been here 30 years. You've only been here 28. You don't know as much as me. It was like academia. They always say, why do these professors get so intense about their fights? Because it's all they got. They ain't got nothing else, right? And in sports betting, it used to be, I'm better than you. And poker's become that now, where they're always debating theory. And if Phil Hellmuth is getting so much from endorsements, doesn't matter what their Theo edge is, but they hate Hellmuth because he's making so much money, right? It's usually jealousy. But where we can't compromise is if you just don't know what you're talking about. And to me, when the suits were talking to me about this show and they offered Jonas as an option, I was a fan of Jonas's. But I said, here's the key. Jonas is the voice of the fan. If we try to make Jonas into a professional when he's not, it compromises the whole show. Jonas was 100% behind it. He didn't want to be portrayed, would you say, Jonas, as something you're not.
I always say I'm honest about what I know and, more importantly, what I don't know, and I don't try and pretend.
And to me, it lets Jonas play that role. I have no problem with anyone on any show that involves gambling that's honest about their expertise or lack thereof. And if anyone listens to this show and questions my expertise, we'll bring it on, all right? But they're not, all right? They have no chance. And if you want to question anyone else we put on, go for it, all right? And I question Darren Rovell. He does not know gambling, but somehow, some way, he's working for a gambling whatever website. And to me, that's the problem. Not that Darren Rovell is making, you know, whatever he made before. Not that he's desperate, because if he went from ESPN to this, what's next? You know what I mean? It could be this.
He's a janitor at a high school. Has to take the bus to work every day.
I don't care if that's next. I really don't. It could be this for Darren Rovell.
5 years ago, you probably peaked, and now you're waiting around wondering if something's going to happen before it gets embarrassing.
It's already embarrassing, all right? Quit it, because you're costing people money. It's that plain, all right? Darren Rovell, you're costing people money. I tweet. This is it. This is it. This is all about that. Nothing else, all right? I mean, he did steal from me for years and retweet without attribution. That's fine. That's happened a bunch, all right? But now you're in the big time. You're trying to talk about something where there's millions of dollars at stake in theory, if you have any audience. So you do. So do it right. All right, Brad, you missed it. And we got to do this. You know what we're going to do? I don't usually tease across shows. Let's tease. Everyone's got to keep it quiet. Fezzik's atrociousness that actually you were the victim of. Let's quickly, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. Let's quickly talk about the fight that happened.
That's right. We got a brand new heavyweight champion of the world in boxing, and his name is Andy Ruiz Jr., who upset Anthony Joshua Saturday night in the seventh round via stoppage.
All right. So how big of an upset was this? It started out with Joshua favored in the minus 900 range. So $9 wins you a dollar. So pretty big favor, but yeah, 10% or so the underdog is going to win. Big money and some big bets on the favorite, on the champ to win. And that's usually the way it goes. Where you get the day of the fight, a lot of the $20 bettors, you know, want to get a big payoff on the dog, but the smart bettors are oftentimes not afraid to bet a lot to win a little. It went all the way up to minus 2,500, so $25 to win a dollar. Now, that's a big favorite, and oh, by the way, 11-1 on the take back. So if you would have came in at the end and said, man, this is getting juicy with Ruiz, 100 would have won you 1,100. So still in that range of 6-7% chance, between 5-10% chance of winning, but it was a heck of an upset. Colin said, oh, this is great for boxing. I'm not so sure. I've talked, Steve Cofield, who really knows boxing, told us Joshua was unprepared. Yeah, but when the pressure was on, he didn't respond at all. And Tyson certainly did against Douglas. He lost, but he left it in the ring. Not sure Joshua did.
Straight out of Vegas!